The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to this special Italian Wine Podcast broadcast. This episode is a recording off Clubhouse, the popular drop-in audio chat. This Clubhouse session was taken from the Wine Business Club and Italian Wine Club. Listen in as wine lovers and experts alike engage in some great conversation on a range of topics in wine. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. And remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you tune in.
Hello, everybody. My name's Stevie Kim, and welcome to the Ambassador's Corner. Today's host is, of course, Joan Harnish, and her guest today is Elisabetta Foradori. So, Joan, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Spain.
What are you doing lately in Spain?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. Right now, I'm doing some consulting still for corporate events, and I'm studying the Spanish Wine Scholar on the side to see if I can get through that.
You're betraying us.
Oh, it's always an educational event.
Okay.
And between that, I'm very busy and get back to the States as often as I can as well, see the family, and doing well. Thanks.
Yeah, she has a beautiful family. For those of you who are less familiar, Joan is, as you can tell by her accent, very American, very California. And she's been living in Spain for some time now, because I believe your husband is a Spaniard, right?
Yes, he's from Barcelona.
Yes,
correct.
What's his name?
Juan Manuel.
Yeah, Juan. Mm-hmm. Yes, my daughter talks about Juan, the kind family.
Oh, she's so sweet.
Yeah, you were kind enough to host my daughter for a few months, and she was so, so grateful. Thank you for doing that again. You have a children of your own, 3, I believe.
Yes, I do. Correct. And so I know what it's like to have a big family and be busy and try to do it all at once.
So I met Joan while I was engaged. I had this great ambition of doing the WSET diploma in Roost during the pandemic. That's when I met her. But of course, she finished the course and I had to get back to reality and get back to my real life. But more importantly, she has become our Italian wine ambassador through the Vinitaly International Academy course. And here on my show note, I see that you're a climate change activist. What does that mean?
You bet. Oh, I just think it's very important that we're all completely involved in what's going on with climate change. We need to be more forward thinking in what we're doing as a global community and come together, because this is what's in front of us.
And I believe one of your children are very actively involved in this rain. Right?
Yes, my youngest, she's an environmental scientist. She studied in Santa Barbara at the university. And she's actually the one that really keeps us going on this and educates a lot of people around the globe on it. It's such an important thing that we all need to be involved in. And I think people realize kind of what's going on, but they don't step into it and actively participate in how we're going to make this better. So, it's really an important topic in today's reality and where we're going.
So, Joan, I was so excited to find out that you were hosting Elisabetta Foradori today, because everyone loves her at the office, in our Italian wine community. And, of course, I don't realize who's the guest until the day exactly 1 hour before when I look at the show notes.
Of course.
So thank you for doing that. But why did you select Elisabetta Foradori to be on the call today?
Well, again, getting back to, climate change and all that kind of stuff, with biodynamics, we really step it back into the traditional approach and what they're doing in their vineyards with the viticulture. And I just really respect her approach. She's very steadfast in her approach to viticulture and with nature and everything she's doing. And I traveled quite a bit throughout Alto Adige, coming to and from Spain to Roost in Austria, and had a chance to get to know the wines a bit. I've never had a chance to visit her vineyard. We will make that happen. That's how I became involved in following her and reading about her. And we met recently in Spain because she was receiving a prize, an award in Falset, in the Priorat. And it was just lovely to see her and to meet her and taste the wines with everyone. And so I'm really looking forward to this interview.
So actually, Foradori is located not in Alto Adige, but Trentino. I know this because I have actually a house just above her winery on the very top. So I went to see her. She wasn't there one Christmas because I never go to that area. But luckily, I saw her son at the time. Pretty young still at the time, but she's located just below. So, as you know, we get a little bit geeky here. What are the learning objectives that we should expect from you today after this call?
Okay. Well, thinking about this, I think we should be able to understand the meaning and depth and practices of biodynamic viticulture. And we should be able to understand the wisdom and philosophy of Elisabetta Foradori in her vineyards, as well as finally, understanding what she, Elizabeth, and her family do at the winery to give value and respect to the land, their native grape varieties, and other sources of nature.
Yeah, and don't forget to ask her about her cheese making.
That's in here. That's in here as well.
All right. So what I'm going to do is leave you two alone. So I'm going to pass over the mic to you. Over to you. But I will come back towards the end to see if there are any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stevie. Lovely talking to you.
Okay. Speak to you later.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me first start out with a little background to Elisabetta, and then we'll get into the questions for the interview. But first I'll start out. Elisabetta Foradori is one of Italy's superstar women biodynamic winemakers. Her vineyards are one of the most historical and respected wineries in Italy. And they're surrounded by the northern Italy mountains and their landscapes, specifically the Tyrolean Alps and Dolomites, a region rich in native varieties and diverse terroir. They cultivate the ancient native variety of Teroldego and Pinot Grigio on alluvial soils of the Campo Rotaliano, and Nocciola and Manzone Bianco on the calcareous clay hills of Cognola. It is in these beautiful vineyards where Elisabetta and her family produce some of Italy's most complex, deep, and captivating biodynamic wines. Biodynamic viticulture is a holistic practice that weaves together agricultural wisdom, spiritual philosophy, and ecological harmony. In the green lush Tyrolean Alps of Trentino, where the vines form trellises of cosmic energy and celestial rhythm, a unique approach to winemaking takes root, which is the topic of our interview today, the Foradori family biodynamic viticulture. Guided by the principles set forth by Austrian Rudolf Steiner, here the winemaker Elisabetta Foradori coexists with earth, vine, and the cosmos. Benvenuta, Elisabetta.
Grazie.
Oh, so wonderful that you can be here and share your time with us.
I have to thank everybody. I'm very happy to be here. Try to give you all the passion and what's going on and is going on in our winery or farm in the last time. Yes.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Well, tell you what, why don't we dive into the questions and we'll get going. Okay. Well, Elisabetta, How did you first become interested and involved in biodynamic viticulture?
Actually, it was in the late 90s. I was running the winery as a young woman. I was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And my study was very simple in viticulture and enology in a very traditional way. But at a certain point, it was like missing me the connection of something which it is not really, I cannot describe this. But anyway, I was on searching a way to put more connection with the agriculture into the transformation from the grape into wine. And my husband at the time, Reinhard Sirok, he was always speaking about Goethe and all the theory of the plant. Mm-hmm. And from that, I landed into Rudolf Steiner's theory. And practical say, I was visiting a lot of, I was falling in love with the Mark Reidenbeis at the time, which was in Elsass, and he was practicing biodynamic in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. So it was my first time from seeing a dynamization of the preparate, and I was completely, this changed my life. And then I started very quickly. In 2 years, all the farm was, which was conventional at the time, changing everything into biodynamic. It was not easy, but it was a rebirth in some way.
Okay. I understand when you say it's hard to understand what you really mean, but it's almost like your feet are magnetized into the earth. You're being pulled into something natural, correct?
It was more than only natural. It was like to find this part of the unknown or what I didn't learn at the school. It was like mm-hmm. a very instinctive feeling, which there is much more than only a vineyard, a farm, more what we have to approach in some way mm-hmm. to connect our daily life, this doing, into observe, look at feeling, look at the plant, look at the animal, to find a different way to make agriculture. So be prepared for a change.
Exactly.
Personally in the daily life of our work as farmer.
Italian Wine Podcast, brought to you by Mama Jumbo Shrimp.
I understand, because it seems like a lot of people, you know, may ask the question, well, what do you, you know, in terms of organic, natural, sustainability, et cetera, what do you do in the vineyard? But if I understand correctly, and I think it's something that we all need to go forward, it's not only what we do in our work or our business, but what do we do in our daily lives outside of that? And that consistency and that congruency to that is so important. How does a biodynamic approach in the vineyard impact winemaking in the cellar?
Oh, it's a big impact. But I wanted to say that biodynamic is not only about replacing agrochemicals by natural means.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It is also about shaping the environment, no?
Sure.
The living world.
Exactly.
And develop balance. We don't only think in terms of nutrient cycle. We also consider the farm an organism. And in this way, it's a question of, which is a little bit abstract, but it's a question of a different energy and vitality that you have at the end in the fruit. In our case, is the grape. And biodynamic stop at the fruit. It's not that there is a biodynamic in the cellar. Mm-hmm. So then there's a human being, we take inspiration and put the feeling and the winemaking in the right way, respecting the energy of the fruit. To have a bottle at the end, which is a message of the terroir, a pure message of vitality, a healthy wine, which can go outside to the people and speak about, and is also part of the nutrition in terms of good energy, which is going into the body of everybody. That's, mm-hmm. that's the same for every, food generally said, which is...
Sure.
With this method, biodynamic agriculture is a way, it's a name of a type of agriculture. It's not something abstract or...
No, exactly.
Magical. We are very cautious, which give mm-hmm. us a lot of instrument. A lot of different instruments as a normal agricultural practice, which are incredibly useful in what we see in the last time with this I mean, extremely changement in the climate. That's mean an extremely climate condition. A lot of rain, a lot of dry heat. And so regarding wine, yes. First, to consider that there is a transformation from the fruit, like a transformation of the milk and cheese, a fermentation.
Correct.
Which is a life process, which we don't have to control, but we have to be beside and to be in some way part of the transformation. Mm-hmm. To be into the process, not outside control and make sure that everything, I mean, of course we have to make sure that everything goes into a very good wine, but it's different to be outside, observe and control, or to be in some way inside the process and go with this process to the
Exactly. So you're saying almost like minimal intervention, but the transformation within.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We also transform ourselves in some way. As
exactly. And that, in fact, is just the lineage from the start of the viticulture all the way to selling the product of what you're following, that transformation through the process, and that's so important.
Yes, I mean, we speak about viticulture, but the same, I mean, is for every part of the agriculture, no? They are the same principle. Of course, wine, vineyard, wine is something which spread out in the world and is a very good ambassador in terms of make sure that people start to know this different agriculture, which is very important for the future of our world.
Definitely.
And in these terms, wine is a fantastic ambassador.
Exactly.
But the same principle you can apply to a garden or to a potato or animal, and there is really no difference, in fact.
Okay.
What is about cultivating a wine is a normal agronomical process, which we see with a different responsibility. But, I mean, first is to be a good farmer so that you can practice a good agriculture in terms of the knowledge. You know, which can, of course, is concerning the good, a good improvement of the humus, of the organic material.
Correct.
You know, work in the soil and what everybody do, more or less.
And talking about soils and compost, et cetera, my next question for you was, what benefit does biodynamic compost have versus organic composting? And some people might not understand exactly what biodynamic compost is and how it's made.
In a simple way, what we do into a biodynamic farm is to have like an holistic cycle. So all what we produce for the fertility of the soil come from the farm.
Correct.
In example, we have the cows, so we have the manure. We use all what we produce in the vinification, and it's going to the composting. We also use part of when we prune, part of the wood of the vine. And so there is this important point. Nothing is coming from outside regarding the fertility of the soil. And the composting of all this organic material is done with biodynamic preparate, which are, for the compost preparate, are plants which are transform it, and we put it into the compost so that the compost is not really a fertilizing. We don't put tons of compost outside, but the compost is a living platform containing the biodynamic preparate, which goes into our soil in a very tiny quantity. All the biodynamic practice are based on information, not of quantity. So we speak from 50 to 60 kilos of compost per hectare, or 5 grams of the biodynamic preparator 501. So information that stimulate the life process. So Mm-hmm. It's like a catalyst.
Yeah,
catalyst. The process. Yes.
It's always in full circle, everything coming from where your vineyard is. And it's almost, again, what you were talking about before, that transformation that remains in a full circle, which is very natural indeed.
Yes, it's the circle of a farm. So we live from wine mainly. We also make cheese, vegetable. Mm-hmm. But the beautiful part of this work, what I learned in these 20 years and more, is that as a just only a winery, that the wine business related to the agriculture is more or less at the top of the agriculture in terms of quality of living, quality of, economics for a farm. And because you have to go a little bit down and regarding the whole system, so you have to do, you want to introduce animal, you want to try to introduce other part of the agriculture, you have to. Mm-hmm. So you became a completely different perspective. So away from the monoculture vineyard, which mm-hmm. of course is very important, but the vineyard became a different rule as only produce grape and embrace understanding of the other part of agriculture and be related to other farmer, which is an incredible enrichment of your knowledge, which let you see your vineyard with completely different eye, and also your bee wine producer. Because sometimes, of course, the industrial agriculture divide everybody. Mm-hmm. You make the vine, you make the corn, you make the right. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. And all this is it's a tremendous way to put everybody in a corner. And not yeah. to talk about. So I learn a lot talking with other farmers, which are incredible information, experience,
sure. right.
sharing, help make like a beautiful net of connection. And
exactly. So it's not so individual.
Exactly. Yeah. Even for the future, we have to be connected. This is the only way you can survive on the next very difficult time, I think, which is
coming. I agree. So Elizabeth, I'm going to go to a different question that I had, but since you're talking about this, with cover cropping, companion planting, and the integration of animals in the vineyards, this also fosters biodiversity and balanced microcosm. How exactly does this work? What animals are you... apart from your Tyrolean gray cattle that you work with your cheese that we'll talk about, what kind of animals do you integrate into your vineyards?
Basically, because we are in the Alps, we are in the Dolomite, it was very natural to integrate the cow.
Mm-hmm.
Not because the cow is also, it's an animal with a lot of connection with the cosmos, a lot of power, and the etheric part, this astral part of the, mm-hmm. of the animal into the vineyard is not only a part of, as I told you, abstract, but the cow brings a very important message into the vineyard. Of course, this is a little bit sometimes difficult, but we can manage it, and we are very proud that we can do that and give also with the cheese making like to honor the work of this cow,
because okay yes
you know mm-hmm. sometimes it seems you are a biodynamic farmer, you have to introduce some animal, but it's not like introduce animal into a vineyard. You have to give them the honor to be with you and bring something for the organism, which is not only the manure, but to make, the milk, to make babies, to bring really life. Not
right,
like
exactly. The full circle of life within the vineyard,
exactly.
I understand.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So your cheese production is that close? So you have the dairy cows there to be able to let them come into the vineyard, or do you have any other animals as well?
Well, we have some chicken and, it's enough.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
Our our problem is not is the space. Mm-hmm. Because we, unfortunately, we don't have space in that small valley in the mountain. Of course, uh-huh. then in the summer, the cow, they
go up, right? Yeah,
they go yeah. up.
Uh-huh.
But, yes, so this is our limit, so the space. But
okay.
in some way, I think everything is possible if you want.
Sure. Well, you're definitely making everything possible here. It's amazing.
Like the vegetable which Mirta cultivates under the pergola, so this big training system which... It's really fantastic because you have 8 to 10 meter between the row, and it is a perfect integration of a viticulture into a system. In the past, yeah. they used the pergola for surviving because
exactly the promiscua cultura exactly And is she the one that is strictly in charge of the vegetable production, or like
yes.
it seems like each one of your two sons and your daughter have different roles that they're doing?
Yes, so everybody bring impulse, but there is some yes. Emilio is taking care of the viticulture and winemaking. With Theo. Theo is then more the ambassador of the winery, but of course he's also part of the wine production in terms of sharing opinion and bring a new vision. And Mirta is mainly, yes, taking care of the old vegetable and the hospitality of the winery. I mean, and me, mostly of the cheese, of the cow, and all together of the develop a new project that we have in the mountain. So it's a very interesting cooperation with a different point of view and a lot of sharing different opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of different angles here, but they're all coordinated within. And what's nice is that your children share this with you and are by your side in this journey through your, you know, business that you have. And, you know, as much as they're learning from you in the past, I'm sure you're learning from them as well, you know, with things that they're bringing to the table in terms of their education and new processes.
Yes, it's like take and give and give and take.
No, that's really wonderful. Yeah. Well, let me see here. Okay, so I have another question for you in terms of the younger generations, consumer perceptions. They show a growing trend and necessity towards environmental conscious and sustainable practices in the wine industry and other industries that align holistic farming values and ethical consumption. Elizabeth, do you believe this trend will become more of a demand from the younger generations of wine consumers?
I believe, I hope so, but I believe that young generation, they will consider not only, of course, primarily the quality of the wine, the healthy part, the vitality of the wine, but also what is beside. Beside is not only like a farm or a family, a good process, but is in some way the ecological responsibility and the social responsibility, because the health of the biodynamics lies is a deep desire for social justice, respect, and improvement of social responsibility, you know? And it's like more than just make a healthy wine with respect of the ecology. It's like to know that there is a community of people who work differently because in some way they can have developed a system of really holistic system which put the human being at the center with all the other elements, and this part of be creative, be responsible, take care of the other for the future of the planet. It's very important, and this is probably the most important message that we can put out. Like, imagine all you can eat is ethical.
Yes. Wow. Okay, yeah. If people were thinking of that all the time, things would definitely be changing. Well, Seke, the commitment to ecological harmony contributes not only to the quality of your individual wines, but also the overall biodiversity of Trentino Alto Adige Italian wines. Do you feel that there is a big commitment to ecological harmony within the region that you produce your wines? Or do you feel like there's still a big mountain to climb there with everyone, you know, boarding the train with you?
I mean, my region is a very special region, as I told you. There is, in fact, the space and the surface is so splitted in a small parcel.
Mm-hmm. Very divided. Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of cooperative, which all the sector, you know, wine, milk, apple. And this makes the system good of one side, on the other side very fragile. That means that individuality of the farmer is a little bit flat.
Okay.
Pardon for the... because he's not transformed. Or a few mm-hmm. part of our farmer in Trentino and Alto Adige are also taking, not only taking care of the fruit, but transform into wine,
correct,
milk.
Yeah.
And this make all quite difficult. And that's because there is quite a strong part of young people now, and which believe in this process. But truly say the most part, they are not able to do that for a lot of different reasons. This is not which is better or not, but there are some limits. Starting from the structure of the agriculture and the space.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it will be changed, but it will be take a lot of time. Which is, I think, much more easy in Italian region, which have the possibility to really create farm with a lot of difference, because they have also the possibility to have the place to do that.
Yes, exactly. Okay. But, I mean, as a whole, do you feel like the people are positive and moving forward with this, or just know about it?
More or less. More or less. They need some more time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm positive.
Good. Although time is of the essence, but yeah, it is. If it's going positive forward motion, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely. Well, so Elizabeth, can you describe a little bit more to us about your experience with biodynamic viticulture? For example, like giving some examples of maybe like the biodynamic calendar or just certifications or certain things that people might not know about or exactly what that means.
First of all, I can say that biodynamic practice are ethical, as I told you, principle, which has nothing to do with this. I mean, very not connected with certification,
right,
basically.
Mm-hmm.
We need certification, which is good to guarantee the highest organic quality, to say biodynamic quality. And in that way, the Demeter trademark is the only global brand to recognize certified products and products.
Right.
Produce that is biodynamic. No?
Mm-hmm.
And there are some strict standards, go above and behind organic, more or less, because organic is official recognized in the EU community, and Demeter is a private trademark. Anyway, there is, of course, a guarantee of integrity and quality, which is products that are preserved along the entire value chain. You know?
Mm-hmm.
At the end, the true quality of the product goes through the farmer.
Correct.
Through the perception and through, of course, some good practice.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I feel very well with Demeter. Of course, there is a huge community. This is another good aspect. Demeter is represented farmer all around the world. And we have once a year incredible, beautiful and inspiring meeting at the Goetheanum, which is in Switzerland. This is
nice.
The center of the anthroposophy. So you can be exchange opinion and information with more than 1,000 farmers from around the world. And when I choose to be Demeter certified, it was mainly because I told to me, be connected, be together. This is the only way we can have our voice, you know, into the
world,
to the political, to the EU community, and because be disconnected is not a way, a good way to be. Because sometimes, you know, there is some critical about biodynamic, and we have to keep all together.
I agree. It's the disconnection that maybe takes us down the wrong road, as is happening right now with a lot of technological things that are going on. But I think that community level is very important, and we all need to stick into this together and go through this together if we want to make things more positive. I agree with you.
Yes, community is very important. Probably the most important thing for the next year, together. Because
exactly.
Outside, they try to divide and to give people also not truly informed what about our practice are. So which they are sometimes quite like a little bit difficult to, you know, they are, our biodynamic practice are very concrete. I saw the result in all these 20 more years of practice.
Yeah.
But they are a little more complicated to explain as a traditional and conventional practice of agriculture.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, there is nothing to explain. There is just only to taste.
Exactly, to taste and to do.
And see the energy when you go into a biodynamic farm, you feel a difference. Just only feeling.
Even in the soils, that was my next topic, was the biodynamic soils are rich, such a rich and diverse tapestry that weaves its essential components into every vine and wine produced, as you do. The careful attention to the soil health, biodiversity, and the avoidance of synthetic inputs can result in grapes that are more in tune with their natural surroundings, therefore resulting in wines that reflect the authenticity and unique characteristics of the vineyard. And this emphasizes a deeper connection between the wine, its origin, and the biodynamic philosophy of sustainable holistic agriculture. And I would appreciate, Elizabeth, if you could tell us about your diverse soil ecosystem, and then we can talk about some of your wonderful wines.
There are different soil because there are different parts of the valley. What is common to all the soil, what I saw, it's an increase of the humus part, which is, in fact, a big connector and transformer. And if you have this vitality in the soil, so you can feel that when you see the earth, when they are growing up, when you see the healthy plants, when you walk into the vineyard, they are soft, there is something which is, we don't work a lot the soil, so we have spontaneous herbs.
Okay.
And this all is part of the system which make the vineyard not only a monoculture, but like a big garden. Of course, there are a lot of vineyard, but you have a lot of different plants. We plant trees into the vineyard. We try to enrich the, all this at some point, because the head of the plant is into the soil, are the roots, no? It's the opposite as we are. This make to this big humus component, this make possible that the plant is more connected and can cap also all the information which are coming from the solar system, which is very important for us through the
moon. Okay, right.
And in this way, the plant is open to all the information.
Right, interacting.
Much more healthy.
Like a radar.
And can give some, exactly. It can give them a lot of answer to the change, also to the climate change. But they can be, it's very flexible, and also to the extreme climate change. And at the end, the fruit, kind of grape, it's kind of anyway, it has a lot of information from the character of the place, because mm-hmm. the plant is connected. So in this term, the alluvial soil of Tirol de Govigna give a lot of information about the quantity of the dolomite, which is the main rock mm-hmm. to be correct. The soil. The clay and limestone soil from Nocciola and Manzoni, they give full information of this place and so on. You know, so we can really speak from terroir.
Correct. It's that communication, that back and forth, you know, in the biodiversity that really, again, like you said in the beginning, is coming full circle here without any intervention at all. And that is just so, that's taking it back to just ancestral viticulture or agriculture, or whatever you want to call it. But it's so important that that's respected.
In some way, you are valuing the tradition and the spirit of a place, mm-hmm. which is our mission.
Yes, and it's so well done.
Diversity, which leads to resilience. So there are a lot of very important aspects, which is not only, yes, preserve the fertility of the soil, and which is one of the aspects. We are nourishing body, mind, and soul.
Exactly. And do you, and this comes through with your wines as well, the depth of the flavor, the minerality, the height, the nuances of the aromatics that I think reflect the distinctiveness of your terroir. It's well appreciated in your wines. And if you'd like to go through a couple of them, and I'd love to have you talk about the amphoras as well, which I see that are coming actually from Spain.
Yeah.
I think it was Villa Robledo, no? In La Mancha.
Yeah, Villa Robledo. Juan Padilla.
Juan Padilla, okay. And how do you call amphora in Italian? Is that giara or do you say amphora?
I mean, giara is the Italian word, but we call our tinajas.
Tinajas, okay, tinajas. That's what we call them too. Yeah, okay, we call them tinajas and tinas. Okay. So could you explain a little bit about how you decided to, you know, start doing that with start fermenting and...
This was many years ago, mm-hmm. And it was like a consequence of what we did we used to do outside. The big question was, how can I keep this pure message and vitality mm-hmm. during the transformation grape and wine? How can I, keep this message in a pure way? And at the end, the clay, which is an incredible element. Clay is connecting difference. Clay in the soil is connecting the calcare right. part to the quartz part. What's happening to the tinajas or in the jar is with a good clay and good quality of, the material is preserving all the vitality of our grape in this long infusion. In fermentation with infusion, which is our process to make wine, which is for eight, nine months, so very long.
Uh-huh, right, okay,
and,
yeah.
It's intensive. And I was very lucky through Giusto Chipinti, who is my good friend and winemaker in Sicily. He mm-hmm. at one point he made a big research into the Mediterranean. This was more than 15 years ago. So I found out Juan Padilla, and he shared with me this fantastic Tina. That was a big
change. Yes. Well, you think, Elisabetta, back again, we go to that full circle. you know, the grapes in the vineyards that are on the calcareous clay soils, or some are coming from the clay and they're going back into the clay. And it's just that connection and how they're different at certain moments in their transformation. I really respect the fact that you are using the chinafas there. I mean, you must have a lot of them.
Yes, we work with more than 270.
Wow. Okay, 270.
Very lucky. It's a fantastic quality also. You know, there are now a little bit of fashion about amphora, but to find out a good quality of clay and the process for making that, which contains also the use of the fire, not with electric oven.
Correct, yeah.
So there are a lot of very subtle elements which bring into the quality. It's very rare, very rare. So I feel very lucky. We feel all very lucky.
Sure. Well, you found a good place. Albacete in La Mancha is... Those are silty clay loam soils. So that's, you know, and as you, again, like you said, the firing is just as important. So it just sounds like, you know, that this was a very good decision back in the day. And it's being followed up now by more and more vineyards that are trying to do this as well.
Oh, yes, of course. With more and more tinajeros or...
Yeah, artisans are few and far between.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Well, so tell us some stories about your wines. Which one would you like to talk about? Maybe the Fontana Santa and Osceola, or
I work at, and now we work all together a lot with Teroldego, which is our red variety.
Yes.
So, and it's, I mean, most of our work in different single vineyard, Granato, and but regarding Osceola, I would like to give this tiny and fantastic white grape in Trentino the place which Osceola have to be, which is one of the best white wine of Italy. Unfortunately, it's unknown. There is a very tiny production, but is a grape which express herself in this long infusion into the tinacas and can give wines which can age for 10, 20 years. And I love this variety. So we take care on 5 hectares of Osceola, reproducing with mast cell selection, make like a conservative of diversity of the variety, because as well as the Teroldego, but Osceola needs to be protected because the surface is going back and back. There are just only 40 hectares in Trentino.
Okay.
And yes, so a great, great variety of our Trentino. Not well known, but fantastic grape.
But it's so vibrant. It's a vibrant white, and with the amphora, it really comes through. It's a beautiful wine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice. And well, okay, so I have a couple questions left, but I wanted to ask you, what is your biggest concern, Elisabetta, regarding climate change? Your biggest concern? I know we're talking about community and we're talking about all sorts of different things, but in terms of what you're seeing in the vineyard, what's coming. I know you're forward thinking, but you also go back to the artisanal, and how can we tie this all together? What is your concern that that's maybe something you're not going to be able to see coming in climate change?
Well, there is a lot of things which cannot.
I know it's a tidal wave, basically. But go ahead.
So I feel very lucky that I am a biodynamic farmer, because we have instruments, so we can really, with the use, a different use of the preparate, make more and more stronger plants, which is very flexible. But of course, sometimes it seems it's not enough, but it's a question of be consequent.
Yeah.
A lot of little things we have to do every month, every year, and we have instrument, because the most part of agriculture don't have instrument. They are completely without new idea, because if you work with a dead soil, if you work with a OGM mutated plant, if you work with a genetic which is poor, if you work with a monoculture of 100 of hectare, you are like alone in the middle of the desert.
Correct.
Which is a little bit the opposite what we can do. I hope so. Huh?
Right. Like we're saying, community. You don't want to be alone. Right.
And there is also an important part of regeneration, what's regarding the seeds. Of course, the principle of the biodynamic approach, are different. What it's our feeling is that, of course, there is a change. Perhaps it's a, what I cannot understand, it was the feeling of the last 2 years, that there is something we stopped or reduced the connection with the solar system. So the information which are coming from the cosmos.
Oh, I see.
So that because we have to find other solution with the use of the preparate to create a plant which is deeper connected.
Okay.
Because in some way there is something which stopped. So, but this very abstract concept, I can believe someone can say I'm a little bit crazy, but this is the perception.
No, but I understand. Yeah, and that's that in-depth, just, you know, observing and seeing what's going on. And since you do see everything every day in the vineyard, and if you notice something like this over a two-year period, I understand that. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are understanding this as well. So, but Elisaveta, your commitment to biodynamic practices reflects the Fordadori dedication to produce exceptional quality wines with respect and responsibility to the environment that you've been talking about in this whole interview. And by respecting the past, taking care of the present, and planning for the future, we commend you and your family and thank you for your forward thinking that enables us all to have a wonderful wine experience. Chin chin, Elizabeth, and thank you.
I have two thanks, and thank you very much.
Thank you, a pleasure.
Okay, that means I'm back. thank you both so much.
We had that applause?
Technical problem, but we loved having, of course, Elisabetta. I think I had Attilio Scienza in my office for about 6 hours this morning. So,
wow.
In Italian, we say to Elisabetta, ti fischiavano le orecchie, which means literally the translation means that fischiare means like ringing.
Pinching?
Yeah, okay. Ringing. But it means that her ears must have been burning. I don't know.
Ah, gotcha.
Because we were talking about her all this morning because it turns out, fun fact, Elisabetta's past husband used to live with Attilio Scienza.
No. Are you serious?
Is that correct? For 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he came to Italy because Attilio, which at the time was a young researcher, they met in Germany, and in some way my Rainer, who loves Mediterranean and all, and he decided to come. And I met, actually, my husband because of Attilio.
Yes, so in a way,
director
I can't believe
this. San Michele and Rainer was there. Yes, yes.
So we were talking
about... So I love Attilio.
We all love Attilio.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes not, bro. Speak with epigenetic and all these... and who transform, c'è un diavolo e c'è un amore.
Yes.
But he knows that.
Yeah, it's a love and hate relationship. But yeah, because I found out today that it was Attilio who introduced her past husband, Xerox, to Elisabetta. So what a small, small world.
Yeah. El mundo es un pañuelo.
Sí, vero.
Yeah, whatever that means. But But yeah, so we have to have actually a session with Elisabetta and Attilio together sometime.
Wow. Oh,
sarà that difficile. Would be amazing.
Sarebbe divertente. Prima ci
Get ready, Elisabetta.
Yeah. And she's like, before we have to psychologically prepare ourselves, everybody. So
oh my God.
Thank yes. you so much for both for joining wow. us today. And no. that is a wrap for Italian Wine Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks.
And of course,
and thank you for letting us do this.
Yeah, and of course, this will be replayed on the Italian Wine Podcast.
Grazie.
Ciao, ragazzi, alla prossima.
Ciao, grazie.
Ciao, bella.
Ciao.
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 Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through ItalianWinePodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.